Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, damas y caballeros, leave it in.
And welcome to a post-reaction to Miguel Cotto and Sergio Martinez. You know what? Before I even start giving my thoughts about the fight, I'm going to let Gabriel Montoya, who's over there at the Madison Square Garden right now, drop his thoughts because he's got to get on his way. Gabriel, what did you think about Miguel Cotto versus Sergio Martinez? Big surprise there?
I was pretty surprised how shot Martinez looked. I just think he looked very old. I mean, he couldn't take a punch. Miguel Cotto's not known as a puncher at 154. And he drops Martinez, what, three times in the first round? That left hook that they've been working on. And it's a big weapon for Cotto. But I thought it was a mixture of Cotto looking very good and Martinez looking very, very bad. Timing is everything. Ultimately, Martinez ends up 2-for-2 against top rank. They got him at the beginning of his career, and now they've got him at the end. He had some good wins on them in the middle. I guess I'm taking away from what Cotto did. I mean, you got to beat the guy in front of you, but he just did that look like Sergio Maravilla Martinez, or does that look like the last of Sergio Martinez?
You know what?
To me, it looked like the last of him. I mean, Cotto did a very good job, fought at a very measured pace, but just Martinez looked like crap.
He did look like crap, but here's my thing. Here's my thought about it is that I think that if Miguel Cotto didn't come out the way he did, that it wouldn't have been a factor. The knee wouldn't have been a factor. Like, if you would have allowed and gave Sergio Martinez the respect, we would have saw a different fight. But he came out. He came out in charge. He came out with that left hook. And I think that left hook is what really set the pace, and it's what really damaged that knee. We really found out how well that knee was going to really react to a punch from Miguel Cotto.
I mean, knee was damaged before the fight ever started. I mean, he just looked stiff. He wasn't dancing back and forth. Maravilla used to be he would just whirl around and move and move. I mean, he was getting older. You never saw
he was an
like
ice skater.
Shoulder shrug. Yeah, he looked like crap tonight.
He was an ice skater in the ring. You know, I mean, you know,
He wasn't moving to his left at all. I mean, he was moving to his left. He wasn't moving to his right. You know, where he would drift back and forth. He started to warm up. But, I mean, you know, Cotto did a very good job. I think Brad Goodman and Bruce Trampler did a better job here. They got Maravilla at the right time, when he was old.
Do you think anything Cotto did was all that different than what Murray tried to do a year ago?
But Murray's more of a middleweight, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just like you said, timing is everything. But I also think that if the smaller guy didn't go out there and try to land a big shot and put pressure on the knee. And I said that, you know, he had to really make Sergio work his legs, and he did that. He kept on him.
Yeah.
He gave him angles. He landed. I mean, you know what? The thing is that left hook was there every time he threw it because the ring rust was obvious, man. He couldn't time Cotto at all. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, I think people will say, well, it just proves that Cotto was just a better boxer, the better technician. I'm sorry, but he didn't fight Sergio at his height. During that period, Cotto was kind of all over the place. He was losing. He's not looking so great. He was switching trainers. And remember, he didn't want to fight Martinez. He's like, what do I need him for? He doesn't bring anything monetarily to my table. He's also dangerous. That's a way of saying he's dangerous. Mm-hmm. Now that he wants to face him, it was timing. And you know, again, I'm not trying to, like, denigrate the guy completely, but to me, what I watched wasn't even that great of a fight. It was one guy kind of hoping that his body could get him through one last time, and it just couldn't. And Cotto took advantage. I thought it was a nice stoppage for Sergio. There's no reason to see Sergio take more punishment than he did. He took a lot of punishment.
No, absolutely. Sergio, there was no reason to see Sergio struggle around there for another three rounds.
Yeah, and you know, he's cut, he's bleeding, it's all swollen up. You know, it just was, it was that time. You know, I thought Cotto was very smart, though. He never got out of his wheelhouse. He kind of was very measured, very economical, went to the body, kind of took Sergio like a you know, he was like a bull that was actually a matador, and he's just slicing it Maravilla all night long until there was nothing left. I'll give Cotto that, absolutely. He's a hell of a boxer, and he boxed circles around him, and he fought better. But I don't know. I would have liked to have seen this fight a couple years ago.
Oh, absolutely. And two years ago, this would have been a completely different fight. Cotto was in, you know, like you said, turmoil with his trainers between Stewart. And I know, Dave, you like Diaz, but who knows there. But it would have been Cotto in between trainers. It would have been Sergio at the middle of his prime. It would have been a completely different fight.
I think Dave dropped off here. So
no, I'm back.
Can you
hear me?
Oh, you are? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I did get dropped off, but yeah, I'm back. Let me patch in Felipe Leon really quick. That's on the line. Let's see. Oh no, he really dropped off. He dropped off. And anyways, I got to, you know what, I missed what you said. Who do you think is what do you think is next for Miguel Cotto?
I think a Canelo fight is the fight if he can get past Lara. I think it's a huge fight. It would signify that Top Rank and Golden Boy can work together, you know, and I think it's a winnable fight for both men. I'd pick Canelo in that fight, but I think it's the kind of fight that will really bring the fans out and really be an action kind of fight. They could be great. I've heard some people talk about the other champs. I mean, I thought about it myself, but if I'm Cotto, I use that belt as a shield, and I, you know, you're looking to extend the career. It's all about matchups for him at this point. And he's a very specific sized fighter with a specific skill set. So I would go Canelo.
I agree with you there. And I actually even think even if Canelo loses to Lara, he'll find that as a scapegoat to move Canelo to 160 and make this fight no matter what happens.
Yeah.
Hey, how many of you guys think that Chavez right now is going like, damn it, I should have stayed in good grace with Top Rank because I could have got that title shot with Miguel Cotto?
At what weight class?
Whatever weight class he can make. Hey, let me patch in really quick Felipe Leon, who's on hold right now. Felipe, are you there, brother?
Hey, David, what's going on? Gabriel, I don't know who the other person is, but good night.
It's Brian Foggs, man. I forgot to mention Brian Foggs is with me right now here on Leaving the Ring. Hey, Gabriel, how much time you got with us, brother? You got to go, or what's up?
Yeah, I've kind of got to go. It's madness out here, dude. I'm, like, on my cell, like, bumping into people and shit. I'm also almost at Jimmy's Corner, and I owe somebody a drink because I just lost a bet. But, man, what an atmosphere. I'll just wrap up really fast. Great fans. It was, like, over, like, 21,000, something like that. Really, really, really just a fun time. At the undercard, that Sonsona Vasquez fight was awful. Andy Lee's knockout. Brutal. Beautiful to watch live. The rest of the undercard was his hand.
I tweeted out there with the Andy Lee knockout, dude. I want to see Kirtland and Andy Lee. I want to see James Kirtland and Andy Lee go at it.
That would be a fight. I would like to see that fight.
It would be a fun fight. Yeah. It'd be a great fight.
Hey,
well,
James Kirtland.
I know, huh? Where is he at? Well, hey, Gabriel, you take care out there in New York City, brother. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, my friend. I'll see you. I'm heading out in the morning to Canastota. I'm just going to keep it going. And, I'll have some news for you, but I'll hit you up with that later. All right, my friend.
Right.
I'll talk to you soon. Peace, guys.
Okay, brother.
Yep, take care.
Okay, I got Felipe Leon from San Diego. Fights here with me, as well as one of the hosts of Boxeo Tijuana Radio. Felipe, tell me, brother, what were your thoughts about Miguel Cotto versus Sergio Martinez, bro?
Well, if you guys, if the listeners out there have had a chance to listen to our show on Boxeo Tijuana Radio, they would have heard that I'm not the biggest Miguel Cotto fan. I mean, I have followed him his whole career. I really liked him at 140 pounds, but as he got up in the weight classes, I wasn't all that impressed by him. But he did look somewhat impressive tonight, but you know, we also have to remember who he beat. He beat a guy that's 40 years old that obviously was not there at 100%, and it was evident from the get-go that his knee was not there at all and that the ring rust was, you know, very heavy on his back, and he just couldn't shake it off, and that's the performance that he was able to give with those disadvantages. And Cotto, was able to take advantage as well as you put it, David, using the left hook to really control the fight.
You know, as soon as he came out, I mean, as soon as he landed that hook, to me, it was like, it was a sign of, you know what, I'm not going to allow Sergio to warm up or shake off some of that ring rust. Like, there was really a definite no respect that this was the champion and this was a bigger guy who's supposedly supposed to have the faster hands, you know? And I know the knee comes in a huge factor, but I go again, and I may be wrong about this, but I truly believe that if that left hook did not land, the knee would have not been a factor until later in the rounds if he would have continued to keep moving the way he was trying to. I thought him trying to give himself movement for Sergio Martinez, that is, was the wrong game plan. You know, if you guys listened when I had mentioned before on leaving the ring, I had said, why have movement with a smaller guy? Stay there and stand your ground. You're the bigger guy. You have a big punch. But here's another brilliant thing that Miguel Cotto was doing in that fight. Did you guys notice that every time Sergio tried to throw a punch, Miguel made sure he was on the outside. He wasn't in range. You know, he really made Sergio reach, and that made that knee lock up on him, and it made him stretch. And I think that was just a brilliant idea from whoever it came from, Freddie Roach, or Miguel Cotto just caught on to that, man. It was brilliant. You know, they knew that this guy was coming in with some injuries, you know, operations coming off of surgery. And you know what? They took advantage of it. And I've said this plenty of times. Freddie Roach knows how to pick fights. He knows what to look for. And sometimes he's 100% correct, and tonight he was.
You know, that's a good point about that jab that you mentioned, Dave. But also, I think it had a lot to do with Sergio Martinez and him not having confidence on that knee. You know, he knew that if he needed to throw that jab with authority, he needed to really step into it with that knee, and it wasn't happening, you know. And I think he felt that if he really stepped into it, then he would either feel pain or cause more damage to it. And I think that was one of the factors, and I did notice that he can just not reach him. Even though he has a longer reach, he could just not reach Cotto with that jab, you know. And
he's
I think
get
it's
the band
a,
on
it's
the
a Yeah, I think it gives credit to Freddie Roach. You know, Freddie Roach or somebody in that camp, you know, it was a good game plan where, you know, keep up the pressure at all times, because they knew that if Martinez was going to stand on his punches, that knee was not going to be under him. And, you know, and it was evident in the first round. And then from then on, I think Martinez, it was just a really deep hole that he got himself in after that first round. And it was just too difficult to climb out of. I mean, you got to give it to the guy. He's 40 years old with a lot of pride, a big heart. He kept fighting, you know, and he wanted to keep fighting. But fortunately, his corner had, you know, more sense and stopped the fight. But if it was up to him, he would have fought all the way to the 12th round or before, whenever he would have gotten stopped before that. But he wasn't going to give up. He was going to keep trying to win that fight.
You know, I got here with me is Brian Foggs with Leaving the Ring Radio, and also Felipe Leon from Boxeo Tijuana Radio. This is Late Night Boxing Talk here on Leaving the Ring. It's 10 o'clock. It's 10:14 right now. In about a minute, we're going to open up the phone lines. It's what, 1:14 a.m. in the morning over there in the East Coast. So if you guys are calling in right now, don't worry. We're going to patch you in through. You know what, Miguel Cotto.
It's almost breakfast time over here, Dave.
It's almost, yeah. It's almost another round over here in the West Coast, man, of beer. Hey, you know what? Miguel Cotto winning this middleweight title makes things very, very interesting. I threw it out there in tweet. Who does he go after next? Canelo is obviously one of the names, the top names out there that can make a mega showdown, especially if Canelo gets past Laura, which is a 50-50 fight in a lot of opinions out there that people are believing in. But also Floyd Mayweather, you know, does it make him go, I like a shot at that middleweight title. That's another title I like. He does love titles and stuff. And Gennady Golovkin, does he bring back interest? Hey, you know what I asked a little earlier, Felipe, was does Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. kind of regret that he's not in good faith right now with Top Ranks, because his name would possibly could have been dropped to get a shot at Miguel Cotto winning this middleweight title away from Sergio Martinez. What do you think?
I think he just regrets that this Martinez was not the one that he showed up 2 years ago,
right,
when they fought, you know? But I don't think he sees himself fighting Miguel Cotto at any time.
I can just see him right now. Because, I can just see him right
know,
now.
There's no way that he can
joint.
Make 160. There's no way that this guy, that Chavez Jr. can make near 160 pounds ever again. You know, so I don't think that he's thinking about, man, that could be me facing this guy next. I think it's more of a and if he really wanted to, all he has to do is pick up the phone and have Bob Keane, his manager, call Bob Arum and say, hey, all's forgotten. Offer me the same money or a little bit more than you offered me for Golovkin, and I'll be more than happy to face Cotto. But I don't think that's going to happen because there's no way that he's going to hit 160 pounds.
No. Chavez is long gone from that 160-pound division now. Now he's looking, he has to be looking 175 even. And that 160-pound division is ages ago with his body.
Yeah,
but
I do agree with
you, David, that not only Canelo, but now Floyd Mayweather. I mean, Floyd Mayweather, we've been talking about this for a long time in the boxing world that, you know, who's he going to fight next? I mean, we're all expecting Maidana to be the guy in September. Obviously, it's not going to be Cotto, but we're all expecting Maidana to be in. And who's really excited about that? I mean, yeah, it might be good for another three or four rounds like the first one was, but then after that, you know, what can we really expect from that fight? But a Cotto-Mayweather fight or Mayweather-Cotto fight is an exciting fight. And it makes it even more enticing with Freddie Roach in the corner, which might be able to decipher a little bit of the May Vinci code, as he likes to call it. But I think it's definitely possible.
Right, absolutely. All right, man, 347-215-7598 here on Leaving the Ring Radio. We're doing some late-night boxing talk. Like I said, somewhere out there, Julio Cesar Chavez is passing the joint going, no mames, way, I can't believe this. All right, let's catch some fight fans here on Leaving the Ring, man. Let's go with area code 913. You're on live right now on Leaving the Ring. What's on your mind, man?
Yo, am I on?
You're on, brother. What's cracking?
Yeah, you know what, man? I'm in a lot of the fun Knoxville. I should be happy, but you know what? I cannot believe what I saw. I really can't. Miguel Cotto proved me wrong. I'm very happy. However,
right.
He just Macho Camacho for the best beef fighter of Puerto Rico. You know, I should be happy. I really should. I was wearing my Antonio Margarito shirt. You know, you know what I'm saying? Yo, I'm just being honest. You know what I mean?
Right. Go ahead, brother. Because
everybody's like, oh, Miguel Cotto, yeah, I got him. Whatever, yo. You didn't have Miguel Cotto winning. I don't want to hear that shit. You know, I have Maravilla winning. You know, whatever. You know what? It's okay. I just cannot believe what I saw. I really can't. I really cannot. I can't.
Brother? I'll tell you right now, if I was there right now, I would give you a hug, man. I feel you right now. I understand. But you know what? The better man won tonight. That's all we can do, man. You know. But let me ask you this.
I hold up.
Good. I was going to ask you. So what do you think? Where does Miguel Cotto go from here? Chavez,
well,
Jr.,
to be honest,
Canelo.
To be honest, the only one way, you know. Yeah, if he goes Chavez, please. I don't even want to talk about that. There's only
right.
Canelo Alvarez, period. That's the only thing. If Canelo beats Lara, you know, I will put money on Lara. I think Lara's better. He has a better reach, better hand speed, better foot speed, better pedigree. However, Canelo is the established order or you know what I'm saying? He represents who, what is what? What is hot? So Lara better either he needs to beat him convincingly, or he's gonna just lose. And I don't know. Puerto Rico versus Mexico, you can market it easily. That's not,
right.
I'm from Puerto Rico, you know. But I personally, I'm still in shock of what I saw. I don't think that Miguel Cotto could be Macho Camacho even after Rosario, to be honest, for the best fighter of my island. But and I heard the guy from Baltimore. You know what? Fuck the Jesus. The Jesus ain't shit. Fuck that nigga. I'm sorry for cursing. You know what I'm saying? Fuck the Jesus. The Jesus. He's a crackhead junkie. That's why he died of AIDS. Fuck him. It's about longevity. Macho Camacho had longevity, so fuck the Jesus. fuck you, nigga, and I love you, and I respect the guy from Baltimore from the Steve Kim Show. I'm Eduardo from Knoxville. I'm just saying I love you guys. I can't believe what I saw. I really can't. I even wore my Antonio Margarito shirt. I couldn't believe it. I don't know what happened. Yeah, you know, I need more. I got Hennessy. I got cognac. I got rum. I got beer. I got everything. Yeah. I just can't believe what I saw. I really don't. I am in shock.
Well, do you know what you got to do? It's just go pour me another round. That is Eduardo. I'm gonna let you go, brother. Put you back on hold, okay, brother? Thanks for calling in.
All right, brother. Hey, you guys are the motherfucking shit. I'm sorry for cursing, but you guys are the shit.
Thanks,
much respect, guys. Much respect.
Right. Thanks for the call, brother.
Now, Dave, when you were offline there for a minute, 10 minutes ago or so, I brought up even if Canelo loses to Lara here, the Cotto fight makes sense. That'll be his scapegoat out of the 154-pound division.
I said, you know what? Either one of the guys, if Cotto had lost to Martinez, it still made a lot of sense. You know, it's still very marketable.
Oh, yeah.
I see a lot of people still going to, you know, buy it up, eat it up. And now that Cotto has beat Martinez, regardless of whether it was a shot Martinez, it was a bunk knee, whatever the case is, the fact is, though, the fight makes now even a bigger sell. Now, if Canelo beats Lara in a very convincing fashion, it just boosted it up. I mean, it could be the biggest pay-per-view fight out there, you know, next to when Canelo fought Mayweather, you know? But
let's patch in
another fight fan here on Leaving the Ring Radio, man. Let's go with area code 210. You're on live right now on Leaving the Ring Radio. What's on your mind? 210, you out there, brother?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Go ahead, man. What's
Hello?
On your mind? Yeah.
Not much. I got to eat my crow with some boxing heads because I know tomorrow I'm going to hear it from all the casuals. But, yeah, much props to the Cotto, man. I mean, but, man, I'm not exactly what y'all just said, you know. You know, it's not like he beat Martinez. Like horrible. I mean, horrible. And that's what I was afraid of. You know, I was either going to be cuts or I saw something like a Yuri Foreman type stoppage. But it was almost close to that. So I don't know. It's just good for Cotto, though. I mean, you know, the upside to this is maybe if Canelo can get past Lara, which is a long stretch, that would be a huge fight. And maybe they could stick it to Mayweather and put it on the same date as one of his because Canelo is Mexican, you know what I mean? On a Mexican holiday, that'll make more sense.
Right.
I think it'll blow Mayweather's next or card after next far away, you know what I mean? So, yeah, I mean, it was crazy. I just saw, you know, like y'all said, perfect timing. And, you know, at least one Puerto Rican won because it was looking scary for a while. When I saw the two Puerto Ricans on the undercard lose, I was like, oh, man, it's going to be bad. It's going to be a riot. So... That's just what I see. It was an interesting night though. I saw it with a bunch of casuals. They were entertained, so you know I was content.
You're not the only one that's gonna eat crow, man. I mean, you know, I think we all thought that Martinez 80%. I said 80%. I just couldn't see a Cotto beating an 80% Martinez. And you know what his game plan was. You know, it was written well. They looked at it. They flip flopped it, and they said this is what we're gonna go with. And it worked out. It all panned out. Kudos to Martinez's corner, man, stepping up and just saying, look, champ, we love you. It just can't go any further. You're done. Your body. And, Brian, you said it best before we went on air. You said his mind was there to fight, but his body just couldn't react anymore. It was gone, man.
And someone like Sergio will fight the 12 rounds no matter what. He has that warrior's mentality in his head, and you know, it was a good job by Saramento there to step in and say, no, dude, you've had too much. We don't need to do this.
Yep, absolutely. All right, brother. Hey, thanks for calling in, man. I'll put you back on hold.
Hey, brother, one more thing. The moment of the night for me was Lee coming back off that checkbook. Man, that was great because I know I was worried about the undercard with the casuals. I was watching around a bunch of casuals, but that was great. All right, thanks, guys. Good work.
Thank you, brother. You know what, man? I got to tell you, I scared the shit out of everybody in this neighborhood because I yelled my ass off when I saw that check hook come and land. I mean, that just came out of nowhere. It's funny, too, because my son's sitting next to me, and he says, this guy's done. Like, they need to stop the fight. And I always agree with him. I go, yeah, it's got to be stopped. And boom, It just came out of nowhere, you know? And it just kind of sets you back in reality, like, dude, this is why we watch the sport. This is why we love it, because you never know what's going to happen. You know, we can give an intellectual opinion, but a punch could just take that all away and make you just sound like an idiot, you know? And that's pretty much what Andy Lee did. He just kind of made everybody go like, okay, enough's enough. Boom, here it goes. And now I just got myself back into the mix of things. I tweeted out, I even said a little earlier in the beginning of the show, I want to see Andy Lee versus James Kirtland. Lou DiBella and 50 Cent have a good working relationship. That seems to me very logical and very easy to make. What do you think about that, Felipe?
Yeah, I think so. I think, like you say, it's an easy fight to make. Now, do I want to see it? Yeah, I want to see it. But can Andy Lee do it three times? Because I think James Kirtland, just the way that he fights, his style, the way that Ann Wolf trains him, and the way that he just comes at him, I don't think that Andy Lee has what it takes to hold him off. But he proved it again tonight that he does have what it takes. He has power in those hands, and he's able to score that one punch that's going to lay you out clean. I mean, that kid was out. That Jackson, John Jackson was out, and he's done it before. And Kirkland, we've seen him hit the canvas before too, so he can do it. But is he going to be able to survive enough time against Kirkland to be able to land that kind of punch? So that's the question, and, you know, that's a fight that makes it interesting.
Yeah, I agree, man. It makes it really, really interesting. Let's patch in some more fight fans here on Leaving the Ring. Let's go with let's get area code 818. You're on live right now on Leaving the Ring. What's on your mind? 818.
Yo, what's going on, fellas?
What's cracking, brother? What's on your mind?
Not much, man. I got to be honest with you guys and own up to the fact that I got to eat some krill myself.
Dude, you're not the only one. I mean,
no.
It was, you know what's crazy is that right when he got dropped, I honestly had a flashback of Tito Trinidad versus Fernando Vargas. You know, when Tito lands that quick left hook, boom, I was like, oh, dude, all over again. The only difference was that Vargas was a much more prime fighter than Martinez. I mean, we all knew the bum knee was coming in factor, but I didn't think it was going to come in that quick. I didn't think it was going to be a factor that fast. But it just showed that. And I'll say it again, you know, I honestly think that left hook is what really changed the course of whatever was going to be anticipated in that fight. It took over, and it dictated it. And at any moment, I don't know about you guys, I literally felt that Cotto, if he would have stepped it up even a little bit more, he could have stopped.
Yeah,
Martinez.
Yeah, he would have. He could have done it, I think, at any point. And it's not that he didn't want to do it. He just kind of was maybe biding his time, seeing what was going to happen. But I think that Martinez, at any time, was, you know, with a couple of good solid punches landed on him. He looked like whenever Cotto really got behind the punch and landed it, it would shake up Martinez in a way that we haven't seen before. You know, so you know it has to do with the ring rust. I mean, these guys are sparring. It's known that Martinez is not that big of a sparring guy. He doesn't spar for all that many rounds. Then after that long layoff and the rehabilitation of his knee and everything, you know, he wasn't used to feeling punches, real punches with 10-ounce gloves. And when he got caught, it shook him up. And it looked like every time that Cotto would really get behind a punch, it would shake him up. And you know, it made a big difference. I think it completely changed his style of fighting, not only with the knee, but him being hesitant of getting caught with something big. But, you know, at times it looked like he could take the punch because he was even calling out for Cotto to give him more, you know, that he wanted to fight. He wanted to find something to counter. But, you know, it also looked like every time he landed, Cotto did, to the body or to the head, Martinez would feel it.
Yeah, big time. Anytime he landed that big shot, it wasn't going to happen for him, man. I mean, he did his best.
Did you notice the trunks? I mean, obviously he was trying to cover those knee braces, but geez, I mean, they look like Shaq's. They look like Shaquille O'Neal's, you know, trunks. They were huge.
Yeah, they were massive, dude. I mean,
I've never seen a fighter come in the main event of a pay-per-view coming in with no music. You know, obviously it got switched around after all this back and forth for months. It got switched to where Cotto comes in first and gets announced first, but I've never seen a fight of this magnitude, the guy come in with no music. And then I've seen the biggest trunks I've ever seen on any fighter
on this side of the border, because in TJ you kind of get that stuff with the basketball shorts, where these guys don't have enough money to get a real pair of boxy
That's
shorts, so they wear basketball shorts. But on this side of the border, I've never seen anybody wear that. I mean, you could have put those on Klitschko, and it would have looked fine on him.
Yeah, that was terrible, man. Hey, brother, thanks for calling in, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man, thank you, guys.
You know, I thought it was weird. I mean, weren't those trunks, they were flapping around. I'm like, dude, not only is your body not working, but now you're having, wardrobe malfunction. This is not a good look. It just wasn't a good look for him, you know?
Yeah. You know, here's something I was wondering during the fight is how much different would Martinez's performance would have been if he was allowed to wear the big bulky knee brace instead of the cut down one that he had to use tonight.
I don't think it would have made a big difference, man. Tell you the truth.
Yeah, I don't think that big brace would have helped make him more mobile either. Because I mean, he would have been feeling it when every time he moved that leg and he tried to plant it, he would feel that brace there. You know, those big bulky ones. I don't know. He needed mobility for this fight. He needed to be Sergio Martinez. A Sergio Martinez that was mobile, that could come in and out like he did with Chavez Jr., you know, because, you know, Cotto is fast and he has good legs and everything, but he's more stationary than Martinez, and Martinez needed to be that guy, and he wasn't able to do it because of the knee, and I don't think that bigger brace would have helped.
You know, what's funny is that, like, you know, people get really invested in their fighters or their nationality, you know, and they just get really over-emotional. And you get some folks that are like, I thought you guys were fair. How could you pick against Cotto? I mean, come on, guys. You're acting like, you know, everybody believed that Cotto had a shot here. You know, he was moving up in weight. He didn't look spectacular when he moved up. He had beaten a Delvin Rodriguez. There's so many arguing points there. So I didn't see a lot of folks jumping on the wagon. The folks that did, I give them mad props because they stuck with it. I actually talked to a few people on Twitter that stuck with it. They're like, look, I think Cotto can pull it off. I've even talked to some folks in the boxing business. They were like, I think Cotto can do it. I think he can stop Sergio Martinez. And you got to give them mad props and all that. But if I never heard you even tweet or even talk about it, and all of a sudden you think you're a genius, come on, man. Quit. The alcohol's a little bit too much there, dude. Be humble about it. Eat crow like the rest of us here.
I picked Martinez and my partner and Bocopi on a radio, Renzo. He picked Cotto, and he almost got the round. He said ninth round TKO, and he wanted him to stop it so bad. We watched it. We actually watched the fight together, and then when they announced it as a 10th round TKO, he was a little bit bummed out, but he almost had the round. And he stuck with Cotto from the beginning, so, you know, I got to give him credit. Because I picked Martinez. I thought Martinez, like you, I was on the same car that you were, Dave, that on an 80% Martinez would be able to beat Cotto, because I wasn't all that impressed by Delvin Rodriguez, by the Delvin Rodriguez win. But you know what? Sergio Martinez looked worse than Delvin Rodriguez to a certain point, you know? I mean, he did do some things there, you know, but it was just a guy just trying to, you know, stay in there. You know, it wasn't the Sergio Martinez that we had been used to watching for over 50 fights. It was a Sergio Martinez that wanted to be Sergio Martinez, but like Brian said, his body wouldn't let him.
Yeah, he just couldn't get it going. I mean, no matter what, you could see it in his eyes. Even he was surprised. He was like, "Oh shit," you know, like my body doesn't want to do anything. You know, I'm feeding it the brain waves, but it's just not reacting, and they're, you know, and it's what happens. What's so ironic too is like to hear Roy Jones go, you know, this is when her body does this and it just doesn't react, this is the time you should retire. I was like, Roy, you should take your own advice, dude.
You don't say, Roy.
Yeah. You know, and it's funny, like you mentioned ethnic groups and going with a fighter because of your nationality, and you know, and there's little things that set up Argentinians, and I'm not looking to insult anybody, but, you know, I have a lot of respect for Argentinians and what they've done, but there's this cultural thing that they're arrogant, you know, that Argentinians are arrogant, and how much does that have to do with Martinez thinking that he would be ready for this fight for a guy like Miguel Cotto in his first fight back? I mean, anybody else would have taken a tune-up fight or maybe an easier fight. You know, but
I don't
this
know,
guy
man.
Thought
I,
that he was going
to
bring
kinda,
it.
I got to disagree with you on that. I mean, I think all fighters are kind of arrogant to a point, especially when they get to a to a plateau of, I mean, a platform of where they're at in their career. I think that once you become a champion, you don't want to take a step back. A lot of them allow their pride to get in the way, and they want, you know, especially Martinez had won a fight. He wanted to fight with Cotto for a very long time. We're talking about a good, 3 years back. And I think that he just thought, you know what, this is the fight that I wanted. This is the fight that I should take. And I've seen a lot of fighters take the arrogant move and jump into something when they should have just taken the time and said, you know what, timing is everything. And the timing obviously worked for Miguel Cotto tonight.
Hey, Dave, I might get cut off right here if I do, but I do have an answer for that. If I do get cut off, can I just cross the border and it switches over to the next to the Mexican line and it kind of cuts off? If I do cut off, I'll call back. But I have an answer for that. You know, there's a guy out there that I've known, and I wouldn't say very well, but I've known him, and I've been behind the scenes with him in different parts. And he really, in his mind, when I've spoken to him and I've been around him, when he was ready, and that his name is Eric El Terrible Morales. When he go for
it, you're breaking up really bad. I heard Eric Terrible Morales, and then okay, we'll wait for Felipe to call us back and all that because he's breaking up really bad. So let's pass this to more fight fans here. Yeah, it sounds like he just did, and the call got dropped too. Area code 843. You're on live right now in Leaving Ring. What's on your mind?
Hey, what's happening, partner?
What's up, brother? How you doing? I know, man. Where you been?
It's D843, man. South Cadillac, Charleston, North Charleston, man. We was watching the fight and stuff, and, you know. You got to give it to Cotto, man.
You got
it. You got to give it up to Cotto. That was beautiful what I watched tonight, man. Absolutely.
It was, dude. The game plan, listen. I understand some folks are going to be mad.
You got to get goosebumps watching the damn boxing match. What I got tonight, man. I got goosebumps watching that fucking boxing match, man. That was a good
It was money worth.
By Miguel Cotto, man. But what's next? I mean, shit, I ain't know, man. Stick a fork in the turkey, you know?
Yep.
Gang of Cats probably lost some money tonight. I hope ain't nobody get beat down too bad.
No,
Fuck. Boy, somebody get their ass knocked off tonight somewhere. I'm sure of it.
Yep.
Because I think Cotto will lose this. And, you know, and I regret that shit like a motherfucker. You know, I always go with Cotto, and I think tonight I feel bad about that. Because I didn't think he had
Roach
play a part in it. You know,
right?
That's what he got to act, you know. I was looking at Pacquiao for a minute, man, the way he was bouncing, in and out, and just fucking timing his ass. The jab was there, the left was there, the right was there. Man, he was doing everything except the uppercut.
Yep.
I was amazed at how he was able to dictate the pace. At least a half-healthy Sergio would be able to dictate the pace of the fight a bit, but, Cotto did what he wanted to when he wanted to, and that really surprised me.
Yep, it sure did. All right, brother. Hey, thanks for calling in. We'll put you back on hold, okay?
All right, man.
Let's pass in some more fight fans over here, man. The phone lines are just stacked, dude. So I'm trying to get to everybody. We'll let everybody speak their piece here. Area code 664, you're on live right now, Leaving the Ring. What's on your mind?
David.
What's up, brother?
It's me, Felipe. This is the other line that calls in.
Orale. Okay. Hey, I'm just going to patch another fight fan. Let's get somebody else's opinion really quick, and then we'll get back to what you were saying about Eric Dalibre. 860, I think this is Rob Riller. What's up, bro? You're on live right now.
Yeah, hey, everybody being humble. And, you know, I was all on Facebook and Twitter, like, good win for Cotto. And, you know, I'm eating crow and shit. Fuck that. The Nuthuggers got one. The fucking Nuthuggers got one. The Dick Riders fucking got one. Okay, whatever. Celebrate. You know, bounce all you want, you fucking bitches. Whatever. Nobody, you know, every Puerto Rican, okay, And I know this for a fact because I'm on the phone with my girl. She's in Puerto Rico right now with her family. There was nobody in that damn house that thought Cotto was going to win that fight, okay? So the Dick Riders got one. But we forgetting about Gennady Golovkin. Gennady Golovkin needs to get a shot at somebody. He's 32 years old. He getting up there. He's getting ducked. He needs a shot at somebody.
Did you see him licking his chops, dude? He was like, you know, just kind of like going like, oh, dude, I want this. I want a piece of Miguel Cotto. But here's what I got to say. I don't think they get close to him at all. I don't think Top Rank is – no way. I just don't see that happening, you know. I mean, there's big money fights out there that are less dangerous for Gennady Golovkin, dude.
I agree. When you had said the Floyd Mayweather thing, I'm going to tell you why Floyd Mayweather not take a fight against Miguel Cotto right now.
Top Rank?
No. Not even. He would definitely do it with Cotto if Top Rank or not. I don't think he's going to give Freddie Roach a first-hand look at a fight against himself in the corner, knowing that eventually if Pacquiao keeps winning, a possible fight with Pacquiao would be inevitable at some point, because I think it eventually is going to happen. It's not going to happen when we want because it's already late, but I don't think he's going to give Freddie Roach the satisfaction or the edge in, like, you know, having a first-hand look in a fight, especially with somebody who almost beat you in the first place, who obviously, you know, might have the tools to beat you in the first place. That's way too – Floyd's about the money. He ain't about the risk. So, you know, that's definitely –
Well, there's a lot of money. But let's not forget, Floyd's also about the titles. And he loves titles. He likes to have them in that little plexiglass that he has in his house and stuff. And you know what? Economically, it makes sense for Floyd to try to take something that a lot of guys haven't accomplished, is to get that middleweight title. No matter what, the middleweight title, the Lanier middleweight title and the Lanier heavyweight title is always something that a fighter seeks to get a hold of. You know, it's history.
The old school weight classes, the original six weight classes, whatever they were.
Right.
And middleweight's always been one of them.
And those are the glory weight classes there. Yeah. And that's why so many fighters try to go for it. I mean, let's remember a la De La Hoya. He wanted that middleweight title, went after it, and you know what? Didn't have a chance to get it.
Yeah, not too many welterweights have gone up to get the middleweight title in, I think, probably more than 8 years. I don't think a welterweight has gone up and gotten any middleweight title. It's pretty hard. Usually those guys are middleweights. I consider to be probably the perfect size boxer. You get the mixture of speed with size and power and skill that's, you know, eligible for the body size. But I don't really know. I don't see Cotto taking on too many challenges right now. I mean, if he really analyzed this situation and got the title the way he got it, you know, I can't see him saying, okay, well, now I'm going to fight Gennady Golovkin or Canelo.
His mandatory challenger is going to be Marco Antonio
Rubio. Yeah, Rubio, that's his mandatory. I don't even think he fights him. That guy's a big guy. I mean, he's a bigger guy than Sergio Martinez, you know. He's not as good,
absolutely,
you know, but he's a big guy, you know. Size-wise, I think it's going to be the size of the opponent, I think, is what's going to make Cotto really think about who he wants to take on next. Canelo would be perfect because Canelo has fought at 147 at one point and 154, and going up to 160 will be something on par with him. But him taking a real natural middleweight, I would find that kind of foolish of him.
Yep. Well, Rubio's a big middleweight, too.
Yeah,
but I thought Rubio was fighting at
154.
He's fought at 168. Oh, okay.
168.
And about the Mayweather thing, going for that middleweight title, I mean, it puts him up to par with his arch nemesis, Oscar De La Hoya. I mean, Oscar won it, and you know, Mayweather would want to win it too, to say, hey, you know what? I won as many titles as you did, but I stayed undefeated. You know?
Can you see it right now? Oscar De La Hoya flight to Puerto Rico tells Cotto he has the blueprint. Yo. Oh, my God. Anyway, I'm going to let y'all guys run the show. It's 1 a.m. right now. I mean, I've been hearing some great debates right now on the show, and I'm hungry as hell. I burned a lot of calories watching fights tonight, so.
Hey, you know what? Having everybody call in drunk and stuff makes just, you know, I kind of feel left out, man. Big time and stuff, you know. all right, Rob. Hey, thanks for calling in, dude.
Yeah, man. No problem.
I forget, dude, how fun it is to talk to another drunk person, you know. It's just, God, I feel like I'm at home. Let's patch in some more fight fans here on Leaving the Ring, man. Let's go with area code 313. You're on live right now on Leaving the Ring. What's on your mind? 313, you out there? Probably just listening to the show. Let's go with area code 664. 664, you're on live right now on Leaving the Ring. What's on your mind? Well, that's you,
Felipe. Felipe again, bro. I got cut off.
Okay.
I'm back.
Okay, we'll give 313 another shot. 313, you out there, man? You're on live right now.
313, that's Michigan, isn't it?
I have no idea.
I think that's by me somewhere.
Having nobody respond there on Leaving the Ring. Let's go with area code 951. You're on live right now, Leaving the Ring. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I was just listening, but I have a question.
Go for it, bro.
Do you guys think that this can set up a, I don't know if you already talked about this, can this set up Cotto, Canelo, September 13th, that they can, you know, let Floyd know who's boss, it's Golden Boy, not
I think
Schaefer combination.
It can set up Cotto and Canelo, but not September 13th. I see a December, November date at the earliest
for
that fight.
If you guys remember when Canelo announced that he was going to do 3 pay-per-views in 2014, the date that they gave was March, July, and November. So,
right.
Like Brian says, it would fit perfectly in November. September, I think it's too soon for Cotto. He doesn't turn around so fast at his age right now to do another fight, especially the magnitude of Canelo, which, you know, say what you say about Canelo. If he beats Lara, he's going to be a player. You know, he's going to be a guy to
right.
Really, you got to stop saying Canelo is not that good anymore. If he beats Lara after he beat Bulo and he beat Trout and these guys, I mean, he beat a guy that beat Cotto, which is Trout. And but once if he beats Lara, I mean, we can't really be saying anymore that he isn't that good. So I don't think that Cotto would jump on the fact of fighting in September. But I would definitely, and I would hopefully see it in November. That would be great. I'll go wherever that fight is at. I'll go and reluctantly put on a Canelo shirt because at the end of the day, he's still Mexican with his red hair and his freckles. My brother has red hair and freckles, and he's Mexican. So I'm going to have to put on the Canelo shirt.
Hey, brother, thanks for calling in, man. Appreciate it.
No problem.
You know what? I agree with you. I mean, look. Even if Canelo goes, you know what? I would make the fight at September. I think that Laura's going to give him enough where if Canelo wins, it's going to be a hard win. It's not going to be an easy win, in my opinion. I think there's going to be a lot of twists and turns in that fight. So just like with Cotto, I think Canelo's body's got to recoup. I could honestly see Golden Boy Top Rank saying, let's not shoot for November. Let's shoot for May. And we go from there, you know, because
and go for the big bucks. You know, those are the big
for
bucks.
For the big bucks.
But here's the thing, too, is that these guys can't sit idle from here on to then. They have to fight, and they're going to have to take risks because if they want to continue to fight pay-per-view and make the money, you know, you can't expect Cotto and Canelo take 2 easy fights on either HBO or Showtime, you know, and for these networks to support it. And here's the other thing too. Well, now that I think of it, Oscar is going to start working with HBO, so it can be done on HBO. But you can't take the risk of waiting until May and one of these guys losing, and then the fight will and probably still happen, but it won't have that. Hey, these guys haven't lost since this day, and if Miguel loses and it's for the title, then there's no point because the title's gone.
Well, and in a time right now where Canelo is Golden Boy's really only, he's their only big chess piece. They need to have him on a few good cards as soon as they can. Otherwise, the whole company's in danger.
Yeah. So if Canelo beats Lara and Cotto just comes off his win, I see it being the fight to make in November.
I think May, I like the idea of May because he's going for the big bucks, Mexican frolic to Las Vegas. You know, the Puerto Ricans would go also, but I just think it's too risky for these guys to fight somebody in between, especially Cotto if he's going to defend that title and him losing that title, because then it's not going to make sense anymore.
Well, you know, here's another thing, too, is that what if Miguel Cotto says, no, I don't want to fight in Vegas. No, I don't want to fight on Cinco de Mayo. I want to fight on the Puerto Rican parade. You know, their chosen day, and it's got to be in Madison Square Garden again. There's a lot of negotiating that comes into play with that fight. It's not, to me, still, even though Oscar wants back the relationship with Top Rank, I don't know what you guys think, but I still think that there's still going to be a bit of a tug of war of who gets more of the playing field on their side before any decisions,
yeah,
really big decisions are made.
I don't think that this is a Top Rank issue. It's more of a Miguel Cotto issue. I think that when Miguel Cotto was making those
demands,
that's what
I mean,
on Sergio,
yeah,
Martinez, Top Rank kind of stayed out of it. And I honestly think that Canelo, I think he would go to New York. I mean, they would have to pay him a lot more money than they would have to pay him to fight in Las Vegas. Mm. But I think he would be confident enough. Yeah. One thing that Canelo Alvarez has is that he doesn't have confidence. I mean, he truly, truly, truly believes that he was going to beat Mayweather. Because I was there, and when I saw him at the post-fight press conference, I saw how just the look on his face, how dejected he was, that he couldn't believe that he was not able to beat this guy. You know, he truly believed it, and I think that if they offer him this fight and he truly believes that he could beat Cotto, I think that he would go to New York City and try to beat him in his own house. You know, as long as he got paid, you know, handsomely for it, because I don't think he would expect the same payment that he would get from fighting in Vegas.
Hey, how many of you guys think that now that this happened with Miguel Cotto, and there's a strong possibility because of us even talking about it, a lot of fight fans out there tweeting about it, they want to see Canelo versus Cotto, and we've even mentioned that there could be a strong possibility Mayweather won't have anything to do with Cotto, and how Floyd had mentioned Monday or Tuesday, whatever what day it was, he had said the only interest, well, it was Ellerby that said it, the only interest that they would have with Golden Boy and working with them again is a rematch with Canelo Alvarez. What do you guys think that the tactic next would be is for Floyd Mayweather, the money team, to now make the Canelo fight to kind of take him away from any type of commitment date to get in the ring with a top-ranked fighter, Miguel Cotto?
Before we get into that, I do wonder, with Cotto, I doubt he's on a long-term deal with Top Rank. He's probably on a fight-by-fight deal, so he can, the obstacle of working Golden Boy Top Rank is completely gone. In theory, Cotto could probably do whatever he wants.
I just think that Mayweather can entice Canelo a little easier than he could with Cotto right now, just because the fact that Cotto really doesn't need Mayweather. And I think that Canelo doesn't need him either, but Canelo, I think it stung his pride a bit more with that loss, like you were mentioning, Felipe, that he wants that rematch a lot more than anybody else.
I can't agree with that. I might think that he wants that rematch. I think that Oscar or somebody in that team might be able to convince him that the Cotto fight is the easier and more feasible to win fight than the Mayweather fight. And second, Canelo, I don't think he likes Mayweather at all. And he knows that if Mayweather tries to make the rematch, it's because he wants to get the pay-per-view buys that he desperately needs to show Showtime that it was a good decision to give him all that money. But I think that if Canelo and Cotto make a pay-per-view together, it would easily sell over a million pay-per-view buys, and this way it wouldn't be Canelo being on a Mayweather card, on our Mayweather pay-per-view, but it would be Canelo being on his own pay-per-view and Cotto being on their own pay-per-view, because between them two, Cotto might sell more, but Canelo still brings a lot to the table, whereas with Mayweather, he would always feel that he's on the Mayweather pay-per-view, because that's the way that everybody sees it. You know, it's a Mayweather event when Mayweather fights on pay-per-view. It's Mayweather fighting against so-and-so, whereas with Cotto, it would be Canelo and Cotto. It wouldn't you wouldn't just be the second fiddle to, you know, Mayweather as far as the pay-per-view.
You know, we always know that Mayweather is one of those guys that when there's big news or a big fight that a lot of folks are just eyeing and just salivating about, and when it, the day it does happen, he's always been really genius at marketing himself or getting himself in the news where he takes away the attention from an event that's happening. I just wonder, because of his opponents, a pick of opponents is so slim, think at any chance that if Canelo and Cotto are to be announced, if that's the next big major fight out there, that Mayweather just says, screw it, I'll fight Pacquiao. Because I got nothing left.
I wouldn't hold my breath.
Wouldn't that be the greatest thing, though, Brian? You know, he's like, hey, you know what? Hey, I'm going to fight Manny Pacquiao now. How about that, guys? You know, I'm going to take away the steam from Canelo Cotto.
Exactly. Stranger things have happened, and you know what? You're right, because he does it every time. I mean, just this week, Richard Schaefer announces that he's leaving Golden Boy, and not 2 or 3 hours later, Mayweather sticks himself right in the middle of the story by announcing that he's not going to work with Golden Boy anymore. You know, he had to stick himself into the story. He couldn't wait till the next day or 2 or 3 days later. He had to do it 2 or 3 hours later, so that way, hey, Richard Schaefer just left Golden Boy. That's the big story. Oh, no, the big story is that Mayweather is not going to work with Golden
right?
Boy anymore. He just made himself a big story, you know? And I wasn't put it past him that if Cotto Canelo does get announced and everybody starts saying that, you know, that it's going to be the biggest pay-per-view since, you know, his and Canelo's, he's going to jump right on top of it and try to make that Pacquiao fight. I mean, it sounds far-fetched, but stranger things have happened.
Exactly.
It's kind of like Mayweather is acting like it's like a 16-year-old girl. If the attention's not on him, something's wrong.
Right? I mean, when we talk about arrogance, dude, he carries it all the way. He's like, hell no. Nobody's going to break my record. Nobody's going to do this unless I do it first. I mean, call me crazy, but I wouldn't be surprised, man. I wouldn't get past anybody if he just came out and said, okay, I'll fight Pacquiao. You know,
David, quick question just to Brian, too. What do you guys think of the overall pay-per-view card? I mean, we always complain about Top, you know, really making it really weak. But, you know, it was really solid, I mean, except for that Vasquez-Sonsona fight, which kind of dragged on. Still had some pockets there of action, but it mostly dragged on compared to the Andy Lee fight and the other fight. It was a really good fight card. So my question, and I posted this to Renzo, which we're probably going to have this between him and I on Monday, is do we want to see, you know, big-name fighters fighting each other in so-so fights, or do you want to see guys that maybe we're not used to or don't expect to see in a pay-per-view or don't think that they're pay-per-view-level fights and then just deliver a great fight like the Andy Lee fight and the Marcel Melendez fight?
I think Brian
I would rather watch 100 Andy Lee versus John Jacksons than have to watch
right.
Tom Colazzo again.
Exactly. See, I mean, that's a good point.
Right.
You know, we got these two guys, two big names, but they really didn't deliver what we were expecting, whereas we get this Marcel Melendez fight, which two guys that honestly, you know, are not big names, and they deliver a great fight.
I think you put it, you know what, when I was talking to Brian, what I was talking about on Friday, and I think you put it just perfectly the way you had phrased it to me. You said, these are not known name fighters. These are guys that should really be the main event of Friday night fights, but they're going to be good fights regardless. You're going to get good action. And that's what we got, was good action fights. Now, even with the Vasquez and Sonana fight, honestly, it was good for like 3-4 rounds, and it just got really shitty because you know, Marvin just didn't want to fight anymore. He's kind of just like everything just kind of got thrown out there, and he was like, "Forget it, I don't want any more to do with that."
You know, that wasn't a good fight, but it sure beats the hell out of watching Jay Leon Love.
Oh wow, you went there.
I had to.
Sorry.
Exactly. Hey, let's pass it on. One more fight fan here before we end the show. Let's go with area code 831. You're on live right now on Leave the Ring. What's on your mind? 831, you're on live right now. Nope. Okay, probably just tuning in here on Leave the Ring. But
it's
all right, man.
Fell asleep on it.
Probably. Hey, Brian, final thoughts on tonight's fights, on all four fights that happened on the pay-per-view of the Cotto Martinez?
Yep. this is fun. This is why we love the sport. You know, it's anything can happen. There's a little bit of everything. A sudden change in Lee, a bit of an upset in Kodo. This is why they fight the fights.
Absolutely. Felipe Leon from San Diego Fights, and also one of the hosts of Boxeo Tijuana Radio, and right now he's just crossed the border again, trying to get home. Any final thoughts, brother, about tonight's fight?
Yeah, I mean, I think that Miguel Cotto, you know, really made him a name for himself. I mean, he is a name in boxing, but he kind of raised a little bit, became the first Puerto Rican to win four titles in as many divisions. So, you know, he really put his name out there, and he made himself a player in major fights. I mean, we're already talking about, you know, Mayweather, Canelo, Golovkin, you know. So he proved what he wanted to prove. And as far as the complete fight card, you know, it was a good fight card. You know, I truly enjoyed it. I think it was worth the money that was spent for the pay-per-view. And hopefully we see more of it this year.
Hey, you know what? Just really quick, before we even end the show, this is just a food for thought, I guess I could kind of say. But I know Gennady Golovkin, a lot of us are going to say that's a fight that he should avoid. That's probably a fight that Top Rank is not going to be interested with at the time right now, especially with the ultra high that Cotto's at. But with the movement, and I know what we saw an old Sergio Martinez come in, and you could argue that case very well. But like I said before, you can be very intellectual while breaking your fight, but a lot of times when a punch just lands, that just kind of goes out the window. So here's my thought, though, and tell me what you guys think, that if that fight was to happen, I honestly don't think it's going to be a complete shutout for Cotto. I mean, you know, for Gennady Golovkin. I think Gennady will definitely have a lot of problems. I think Cotto poses a lot of problems for Gennady Golovkin. If Cotto's able to keep that bounce in his legs and movement and able to stick that jab and that little short left hook, I think he gives Gennady Golovkin a run for his money. Real quick, Brian, what are your thoughts about that? Crazy? Am I crazy?
Only half crazy, but I there's not a fighter on earth that could blow out Miguel Cotto. I mean, he's just a professional. There's no way to just blow him out. I mean, Pacquiao did, but that was X amount of years ago. I do think Golovkin has a few tough rounds with Cotto, then he just kind of blows him out. Only half crazy there. I don't think Golovkin sees too much of a problem with Cotto, though.
Felipe, what's your thoughts, brother?
I agree with Brian. You know, I think that that Cotto will be in there for a couple of rounds while Golovkin tries to figure out that bounce and the left hook and everything. But I think it's more of a size issue. I think that Golovkin is just that much bigger. I mean, remember, guys, Cotto weighed in at 155 pounds, you know. Golovkin, you might make a catch weight with him with 58, 59 pounds, but he's going to go in there as a big guy. You know, he's able to stay in sparring with 168 pounders and things. I think size-wise, it's just going to be, you know, too much of an issue. And I think that, I mean, honestly, I think that Golovkin finishes him in six rounds or less.
You know what? That's why fights got to be made, so we can see whether or not we're right on a prediction, if we're wrong on our prediction. Everybody, I want to thank everybody that called in or tuning in right now to the Late Night Boxing Talk here on Leaving the Ring. Something that we've been wanting to do, and I just finally said, screw it, I'll do it. I'll jump on here, man. But because normally I like to honestly, after the fights, is just kind of just lounge and, you know, kind of go over in my head about what happened on a pay-per-view event night. But we get a lot of requests. Everybody keeps asking us, hey, man, when are you guys going to do a post-talk? When are you guys going to do this? So we figured out, why not do it? We'll have it today. And so I had Brian Fogg with me from Leaving the Ring. He's one of our writers. If you haven't read his stuff, you got to check it out. Great, great writer. And then we also have Felipe Leon, who's also a host of Boxeo Tijuana Radio. If you haven't checked that out, you guys are missing out some great quality all-Spanish talk boxing radio coming out of the barrios de Tijuana with Felipe and Resno. Anyways, everybody, thanks for calling in. Don't forget, every Monday, you got the next round with Steve Kim and Gabriel Montoya. And every Tuesday, you got two shows. You got Leaving the Ring on Tuesday, and you got Boxeo Tijuana Radio on the Leaving the Ring mobile app. Don't forget to download. Don't forget to tweet us. Don't forget to visit our Facebook. And don't forget to follow Felipe Leon here, and as well as Brian Foggs. Hey, so you guys, man, thanks for calling in. Thanks for hosting with me, guys. Everybody out there, be safe. Don't drink and drive, because you will spill your beer tonight.
Yeah. All right, have a good night.
Hey, thanks for having us on, Dave.